Brother Donnelly, Chuck Donnelly. I'm out of Faith Baptist Church in Spokane, where my son is the pastor now. And so when he was growing up, I used to spank him, and now he spanks me from the pulpit. We're glad to be here. I've been with Rock of Ages for a total of 31 years. My wife and I, this October, have been married 59 years. And so my grandkids tell me oftentimes, "Papa, you ought to pull your birth certificate out and look at it once in a while. You know how old you are?" And I say, "I know, but the Lord's keeping me going." So that's great. But I just want to share a couple things with you about Rock of Ages. And when I came with Rock of Ages in 1995, out in the western states, the 15 western states, there was only five or six of us missionaries. Terry Ellis was out here. Gene Blackburn was out here. Tom First was out here. Miss Brown, Yvonne Brown, was out here, and myself. And we were covering all these states, and we began to pray that the Lord would bring on laborers. And as time went on, some came, some went, more came. And so right now we've got, I believe, 15 missionaries out in the western states. We've got three in California, which is a real blessing. I used to do the prisons in California, but now we got men there that are doing that. But, you know, Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And last time I checked, the prisons were still in this world, so I think we'll just go on and win the inmate. But when I came with Rock of Ages, Dr. Garris was the president, and he said, "Brother Donnelly, what's your vision for the prisons?" And I gave him four things, and I want to share those with you tonight. I said, first of all, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I said, I've got a vision for more prisons to open up to us. When I came with Rock of Ages in 1995, we were doing a few prisons in Washington, two in Oregon, and we were only doing two in Idaho at that time. They were both in Boise. And I was invited to go to a missions conference in a church in Meridian, Idaho, to present our ministry. And I had my PowerPoint, and I had the map up there, and all the prisons I was in Washington, and all the prisons I was in Oregon, and so forth. And I came to Idaho, and it was just two prisons. I felt pretty anemic being in a large church in Meridian, Idaho, and all those prisons there up on that hill. After the service, a man walked up to me, a well-dressed man walked up to me and said, how come you're not in more prisons in Idaho? And I said, "Sir, it's not because of lack of desire. I just have not been able to get into them." And he said, "How many you want to get into?" I said, "All of them." He said, "I'm the warden at one of the two prisons you go into." And he said, "I know what the spiritual temperature happens when Rock of Ages comes to our prison." He said, "I'll get back to you." After that Sunday morning service, we went out to lunch with the staff of the church, and that warden was at that restaurant. He wasn't part of the group, but he was at the restaurant. I caught eye contact with him. He walked over and handed me a piece of paper, and he said, "You are good to go at every one of these prisons." He said, "This is a direct line into the deputy warden." And one of those prisons was the one here at Pocatello. And that's how it started here at Pocatello. There's a great need everywhere, but the laborers are few. So more prisons to open up, and then naturally, if we have more prisons and more volunteers, we're going to see more souls saved. It's just a matter of how it works. And let me just say this. We believe that the local church is God's instrument. We simply partner and assist them and help them to carry out the Great Commission. We're not coming in to start a Rock of Ages prison ministry in your church. We simply want to assist you in reaching inmates. And so the vision of more souls to be saved. But you know, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, it's not just win them, but we need to disciple them. We need to disciple them. And we do that several ways. We have our Prisoner Bible Institute, and I have several of our lessons back there. We have one on every book of the Bible, plus the Christian Growth Series. And out of every chapter in the Bible, there are 50 questions in that chapter alone. We have 25 true and false, and 25 fill in the blanks or to multiple choice. And as the inmates start going through those lessons, they mail the answer sheet back to Rock of Ages in Cleveland, Tennessee, and they get a certificate. And when they go through the entire series, they get a beautiful, beautiful Bible. And we have numbers and numbers. I'm at Airway Heights every Tuesday. I'm at Bonner County Jail in Sandpoint, Idaho, every Monday. And we've got numbers of men that are enrolled in the Prisoner Bible Institute. That is one tool. Another tool is to get the local churches involved, just like this. We come in for a revival, a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 day revival, but then we leave and we go on to the next prison. But we are starting now to see churches getting involved on a weekly or every other week, and they can go in and they can disciple those converts. It's working very, very well. I was in a prison not long ago. We always give the chaplain a list of those that make decisions. And that chaplain took that paper and he said, I appreciate you giving me this. What do you want me to do with them? They're your converts. What are you going to do with them? Well, I'm going on to another Montana prison. So now we're seeing churches getting involved. I just came back from Canada. We've got Canadian churches that are going into the prisons up there, and we went up there for a weekend and trained them in how to do prison ministry. We're going back again in September. So there's great things that are going on. And then beyond that, how about when they get out? We want to get them pointed into a good Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, and we're able to do that. Over the 31 years, I've built a long list. I asked the men where they're getting out. We had a man last Tuesday at Airway Heights. That was his last service. He's getting out in just a couple of days. He's planning on coming to Faith Baptist Church where I attend. But we try to get those men plugged in to those various churches. Now, one of the things that we do, I get on the register and I find out why that man was in prison. And I let that pastor know this man was in prison for this. I think the pastor needs to know why that man was incarcerated. And so that's what we do. We've got men that have, from Airway Heights, that's where I spent most of my time when I'm not out on revivals. We've got men who are song leaders in their churches now. We've got a man right now. He's studying for the ministry from a Bible college correspondence. His desire, he believes that God's called him to preach and to go out and to start a church. And so there's great things happening as we partner with the local church. I want to read something here and then I'll finish up. This is a letter that I received after holding a revival right here at Pocatello at the women's prison. And I won't read it all, but I just want to read the last part. My dad and I were just talking, and this particular lady was at Unit 1. That's the work camp. She said, my dad and I were just talking last week during our visit about me wanting to go to a good old-fashioned tent revival when I got out. Praise the Lord, God brought one to me through the Rock of Ages prison ministry. That's an encouraging letter, Now here's the thing, and I'll be preaching on some of this tonight. We need laborers. There are ladies right up there at that prison. The Bible says in Psalm 79, let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. Sometimes inmates think there's no hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. At Airway Heights, and I don't make any apology for it, I've said it many times to staff, the state programs don't work. They have addictions program, they don't work. The only thing that works is Jesus Christ. And several years ago, Airway Heights Correctional Center asked me to come in and to teach a faith-based addictions program, and I do that on Tuesday nights, both at the main and at the camp. And the results are unbelievable. Men are getting saved. They're getting excited about serving the Lord. And that's what it's all about. But we cannot do what we do without the support of the local church. And so I praise God for this church and what you're doing up there at Pocatello. But we need laborers. We need laborers. We need more laborers. We need to get Miss Sarah some relief. Amen. To get her some relief. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to begin reading in verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And then would you turn over to John chapter 4 just for a moment. John chapter 4 in verse 35. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I want to preach to you tonight on that subject of the harvest. The harvest. And would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I do thank you for the joy and the privilege to be here with these great folks tonight. Lord, I thank you for this church and what it stands for. Lord, thank you for those that have partnered with us up at the women's prison here. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday up at the prison. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that'll be traveling in. Give them safety. Now, Lord, as we look at the scriptures tonight, Lord, help us to realize that there is a harvest there. There's a harvest to bring in. And Lord, we'll commit its service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in these two portions of scripture, we see the word harvest mentioned several times. Now, when we think about harvest in a secular way, we think about bringing in crops. For the last many, many years down in the Tri-Cities and then now just north of Spokane, we've lived in an agricultural area where they, at certain times of the year, they bring in the harvest. Apples, cherries, the alfalfa has to be cut, and so forth, and on it goes. And when we think about harvest, we think about those type of items sometimes. But Jesus was not talking about that. Jesus was talking about the harvest of souls and the urgency that he has placed upon the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This fall, I was headed down to the prison at Cottonwood, Idaho. And there's two prisons down in that area, one's at Orfino and one's at Cottonwood. And I left Spokane and I went down Highway 195 down to Colfax, and then from Colfax into Lewiston. But as I was going along, there was a lot of activity going on in what they call the Palouse area. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of acres of wheat that they were bringing in. The combines were going, the trucks were going alongside, and trucks were coming out on the highway and going off, and there was a beehive of activity. What were they trying to do? They were trying to bring in the harvest. There was an urgency to get the harvest in. As we talk about this matter of the harvest, I just want to mention some things preliminary. First of all, Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. We see that in the book of Ephesians. The church is subject unto Christ. And Christ will build his church numerically and spiritually. And to the church, he gave us our marching orders. Number one was to bring glory to God. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, and Ephesians 1 and verse 12, and Ephesians 3 and verse 21, to bring glory to God. Number two, to develop its members spiritually. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And then to be God's pillar and foundation of truth. We see that in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But then he gives us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so I want to talk about that subject of the harvest. And we see, first of all, in Matthew in chapter 9 and in verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous. That word plenteous means abundant. It means great. It means not lacking. Would you not agree with me that people need the Lord? People need to be saved. People need to be exposed to the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is clearly defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Oswald Smith who said, no one has the right to hear the gospel twice while so many have not heard it once. The matter of the harvest. Several years ago, I was holding a 3-day revival at the prison at Orfino. And we were down in that old chapel area. Now they've moved it to another area, but that old chapel area. And as the men were coming in, I was standing at the door and shaking hands with them and thanking them for coming. And a young man came in. Now, church, I'm telling you, he looked like he was about 14 years of age. He looked really, really young. And as I tried to shake hands with him, he just brushed on by me. And he sat down in the first pew, in the first set of chairs. The state chaplain saw me trying to befriend that young man. He came over. He said, I appreciate you trying to befriend him and encourage him. He said, he just got here not recently. I said, he looks really young. How come he's not in a juvenile facility? He said, he just turned 19, but he looks young. He's in prison doing 2 life sentences without the possibility of parole. 2 life sentences. Not because that young man was there, but because what the Lord had placed on my heart, I preached on John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And I preached on that portion of Scripture. And when I gave the invitation, that young man got up out of his seat and he came right in front of me. I mean, right in front of me. And he pointed his finger at me. And he said, Nobody, not my mom, not my dad, not my grandparents, not my aunts, not my uncles, nobody has ever told me they loved me. Nobody has ever told me that. And tonight you told me about a man who loved me so much he died on a cross for me so I could spend eternity in heaven. And I was able to lead that young man to the Lord. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ready. The harvest is abundant. Secondly, we saw in John chapter 4 that the harvest is ripe. It's not only abundant, it's not only plenteous, but it is ripe. It is ripe. There are so many people that are looking for some hope, some direction, some type of stability, and what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. The harvest is ripe. Every Monday night, I make the hour and 20-minute drive one way up to the Bonner County Jail at Sandpoint from Spokane. And I don't remember if it was pod 300, pod 400, pod 100. I don't remember what pod it was. But when new men come in, and you need to understand that it's a county jail and many of them are waiting on court dates, they're waiting to be transferred to other prisons. But we have men that come week after week after week while they're waiting to be dispersed someplace else. And so when a new man comes in, I focus on him. And I'll say, is this your first time to our service? Yes, it is. I just got here a few days ago. And I will immediately ask that man, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven or don't you know? And that man looked at me and he said, I've been thinking about that. He said, back in my unit, somebody left a piece of paper, something from a church, and it said something about how to get to heaven from here. And he said, I read that, but I don't understand it. He said, but I've been thinking about that. Well, you remember over in the book of Acts of the Ethiopian eunuch, understandest what thou readest? How can I except some man guide me? And in just a few moments, that man bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. He was searching, but he just didn't know how to get there. And I was there to be able to tell him how to be saved. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ripe. Prior to COVID, I spent 14 to 18 hours a week at Airway Heights Correctional Center, plus doing my revivals. I had some other volunteers that would go in with me. When I was out, they'd cover for me. And on a particular Sunday night, a man walked in. When they walk in at that prison, they have to sign in. They have to sign in during the week, and it's called a call out. And so they're allowed to come to the chapel. When they come in, they sign a paper with their DOC number and their location and their name. And then an officer comes in, and he checks the call out with the list here, and if there's somebody on the call out, but they have not come to the service, then he's gonna find out why. They may be in sick bay, some other reason. This man came in and I greeted him and he said, this is my first time. And I said, I'm Brother Donnelly. He said, I'm Christopher. I said, Christopher, good to have you here tonight. I said, come on right down. I wanna get him down close. I said, you come on down. He said, no, sir. He said, nobody sits behind me. Nobody sits behind me. He said, I want to take one of these chairs and put it on the back wall, and I'm going to sit back there. If I can't do that, then I will leave, and I'll take the infraction for leaving. I said, well, Christopher, if you need to sit back there, go ahead and do it. He sat back there, he behaved himself, everything was fine. The next Sunday night, he sat on the back row, not against the wall, but the back row. Third Sunday night, he sat about halfway down. The fourth Sunday night, he sat in the second row. And when I asked for testimonies, to my amazement, Christopher stood up. And he rolled back his sleeve And he turned to all those men and he held up his hand like that. On his hand was a 1-3. A 1-3. He pulled back his shirt with a tattoo here and it had an emblem on there. You could have heard a pin drop in that chapel. 1-3 is the Mexican mafia. They're the worst of the worst. He pulled back his hair and he had a tattoo up here and everybody was just in amazement. And then he said this, "I've been coming for 4 weeks and listening to this preacher." And he said, "I just want you to know that this week I knelt beside my bed and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart." He said, "You don't get out of what I'm in alive." He said, "No doubt there's a contract out on my life right now. But it's a small price to pay for what Christ has done for me." And in a couple of weeks, he was gone. They moved him out to another prison, probably for his safety. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ripe. And then thirdly, the harvest will soon be over. The harvest will soon be over. We've got to take opportunity while we have it. The harvest is going to end. The trump's going to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. We're not going to be able to win inmates in heaven. We can only do it here while we've got opportunity. Several years ago at the Airway Heights Correctional, it's broken down into two groups, like pretty much like the women's prison here is. You have the main, and then you have the camp. And if you were to drive in that parking lot at Airway Heights, and you look at the main, if you look off to your right where the camp is, you will see 5 or 6 or red Jeep-like trucks. They're red in color. They belong to the Department of Natural Resources. There are men at the camp, if they meet certain physical standards, they're low risk, they can actually go through training at Airway Heights and they can be firefighters. And they go out with the Department of Natural Resources and they fight fires. There was a young man in my service named Danny. Danny was one of those men on that crew, on one of those crews. I was holding missions conference in Hastings, Nebraska. My son Scott was covering for me at the service that night. And after the missions conference, Scott called me and, "Dad, I just want you to know that things were a little different at the prison tonight." I said, "What's going on, Scott?" He said, "The men were down." I said, "You talk about attendance?" He said, "No, the attendance was way up, but the spirit was down." I said, "What's going on, Scott?" He said, "You know that young man by the name of Danny?" I said, "Yeah, the kid that sat at the back that was so quiet." He said, "Yeah, Danny." He said he was out on one of the fire crews. He was operating a chainsaw. They were making a fire break. He had operated that chainsaw many times. And as he was going to fall that tree, it did not go the way he thought it was going to go. And it came down across some power lines. And Danny was electrocuted. I went back and I checked my records of when Danny walked forward on that Sunday night and trusted Christ. 178 days from the time that young man put his faith and trust in Christ, he went out to eternity. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." The state chaplain called me, and he said, Preacher Donnelly, he said, we're having a memorial service for Danny in the prison chapel. And the men would like you to do that chapel service. I said, Chaplain, I'd be honored to do that. What's the date? He gave me the date. I said, Chaplain, that's not going to work. That entire work week, I'm in the prisons at Boise. He said, well, maybe you could call them and reschedule. I said, it doesn't work that way too well, and you know that. But I said, Chaplain, if we could talk to Danny right now, which we couldn't, but if we could talk to Danny right now, and you were to ask Danny, do you want Brother Donnelly to cancel a prison revival so he can do your memorial service? I said, I have no doubt what Danny would say. You tell Brother Donnelly to go on to that prison in Boise. There's a whole bunch of Dannys over there that need the Lord. And that's what I did. I went to Boise. One day the harvest is going to be passed. We're not going to have opportunity. We're not going to have opportunity. And then I want you to look at Matthew chapter 9 again. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Now look what it says, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is ripe. One day the harvest is going to be over. What's the problem? The problem is the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart right now about getting involved with the prison up there and going with your church up to that prison. It'd be a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Inmates are just waiting for somebody to come and give them some hope. And we know that that hope is in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was holding a revival at the women's prison in Purdy, Washington, 950 ladies incarcerated there. We were there a Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and a Sunday afternoon. We went in on Friday night. We were late getting in. They held us up with getting our badges. When we got into that chapel, the chapel was full. Ladies were already there. I went to the pulpit. I had my song leader. I said, let's have one song and we're going to get going. And just as that song leader started that song, a lady in a wheelchair right down front went into a seizure. I mean, she started shaking. I mean, it was a sight. She shook so much she flopped out of her wheelchair onto the ground. One of the lady inmates ran forward and took her finger and stuck her finger down her throat. I guess she knew what to do. Another inmate ran out the back door screaming for an officer. Next thing you know, the medical team came in. They said, recall, your service is over. And the ladies had to leave. We showed up on Saturday. And the officer at the desk said, didn't somebody call you? And I said, no, sir. He said, the sprinkler system went off in the chapel today. Everything's wet. They're cleaning it up. You're not having your service. I said, what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? He said, here's a number to call about 9:30 tomorrow morning, and they'll tell you whether there's a call out for you. I called, and they said, you're good to go. We showed up on Sunday afternoon. That lady in that wheelchair was right down front again. And she motioned to me. And she said, if you want me to leave, I'll leave. She said, I know I ruined the service Friday night. She said, I don't have control over these things. If you want me to leave, I'll leave. I said, no, ma'am, I want you to stay. We preached the word of God. That lady unlocked her wheelchair. She came forward. My wife took her off to the side and was able to lead her to the Lord. When we were finishing up, my wife motioned to me and said, you ought to let this lady say something. That can be a dangerous thing in prison. Sometimes it's real dangerous. I said, okay, Debbie. And that lady in that wheelchair wheeled around and looked into the faces of her peers. And she said, this week, I got a letter from my mom and dad disowning me because I'm in prison. They said, we no longer have a daughter. And she said, tonight, this afternoon, I met the one who did not throw me away, the Lord Jesus Christ. The harvest is plenteous, church. The harvest is ripe. It's ready. It's waiting. One day the harvest is going to be over. We're not going to have any more opportunities. Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The problem has always been with laborers, those that are willing to go and put the go in the gospel. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart tonight about getting involved up there at the ladies' prison. Be a wonderful thing. Be a wonderful thing. The laborers are few. Father, I pray now that you'd bless the invitation. As I turn it over to Pastor, may you have your will and have your way. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.